Ladies and gentlemen of the Ethos Lakers podcast family, welcome to this special Martin Luther King Day edition of the podcast, and perhaps even a turning point for the Lakers, possibly, because it is now a little over 24 hours since LeBron James, after that disastrous 37-point loss, I believe it was, to the Denver Nuggets. LeBron himself tweeted on January 16th, hashtag Laker Nation, I apologize and I promise we'll be better. King crown emoji, purple heart emoji, gold heart emoji. And yeah, it's a sentiment that a lot of Lakers fans maybe have been wanting to see. They've been wanting to see a little bit of a rise out of King James, something they haven't really seen up until this point in the season. And the apology is necessary. The effort against Denver in Denver was abysmal. True, Denver did shoot the lights out and didn't miss seemingly a three in the entire evening. The effort for the Lakers just wasn't there. So much so that Russell Westbrook even called out the Lakers' effort. And, you know, he's somebody who, if anyone's going to call it the Lakers' effort, as poor as he's been playing, it is going to be Russell Westbrook, because he is somebody who plays and relies on his effort. So it makes sense that he would be the one to kind of call out the team. And then Dwight Howard did it. And it echoes a point that Ethan and I have been kind of saying all along, and has been evident all along in some of the good wins that the Lakers have had when they've come back from deficits, some of the bad losses the Lakers have had this season when they've been up and they end up giving up big leads in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. It comes down to effort. And for four games, even despite some wins, the Lakers have given up 125-plus points, you know, per game for the last four games. And here against Utah, one of the highest-scoring offenses in the league, they don't have any injuries, so they have their full lineup. They're full go. I don't know if anyone was really looking forward to this matchup against Utah, seeing as how the Lakers have played horrendous defense lately. But tonight, as they've showed us before, when the Lakers care, when they're going to give you a really great effort, when they're going to try on defense, and man, did they try. Shutting down Donovan Mitchell to the tune of 13 points, made him shoot 6 for 19, missed all 8 of his 3-point shots. Yeah, the Lakers played great defense on Donovan Mitchell. He only went to the free throw line once the entire game. That's absolutely outstanding defense. And that was all from the effort from this team, from the Lakers team tonight. And rare is the occurrence in which you might be able to look at a single pivotal moment in a season. Because games are so long, this wasn't a blowout. The Lakers could have easily ended up losing this game because they had another horrendous third quarter. But if you're looking for a turning point in this season, a single momentous turning point, now I'm not fully turned around on Russell Westbrook. I still don't like his style. And against Denver, he actually shot 7 for 15 and had another zero turnover game. And so you might be able to point to the fact that he's not the problem, because we've been wanting him to shoot efficiently. He finally shoots efficiently against Denver, along with a zero turnover game, and the Lakers still lose by 37 points. But amongst all of the criticism and all of the hate on social media and all the pressure he's been putting on himself, in the second quarter of this game, Russell Westbrook takes the ball at the top of the key, takes a screen from LeBron James, dribbles with his left hand down the lane, and explodes for a monstrous dunk over the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. Immediately earns a technical foul for taunting him in his face, a technical foul that nobody in the building had a problem with, except for maybe Rudy Gobert. I'm sure even some of Rudy's teammates were like, damn, dude, you got. And it was a great play. Could it be the single moment that turns the season around for the Lakers? It could be. I'm certainly not going to poo-poo this moment, as great as it was. But you have to look at the facts. And the Lakers did almost lose this game by having another horrendous third quarter. But then came the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, LeBron James was inserted back at center in the lineup, although he was not guarding Rudy Gobert. The fourth quarter, the entire story for the fourth quarter, is going to be all about Mr. 10-Day Stanley. On his second 10-day contract, he can be put on one more 10-day contract before the Lakers have to decide if they're going to give him a full contract or not. And as great as he's played since he came on in Christmas, if he has earned a full-time contract, it'll be because of this game. In this game, January 17th, Martin Luther King Day, a 95-101 victory versus the Utah Jazz, Stanley Johnson played 25 minutes, shot 7 for 9, 1 for 2 from three-point line, grabbed an offensive rebound, and that one offensive rebound, man, was that a clutch offensive rebound. It came in the final 5 minutes of the game. It was off of a LeBron miss. Stanley Johnson grabs the offensive rebound, finds Avery Bradley open for a three in the corner. Bucket. Four defensive rebounds, three assists, one steal, two blocks, plus 18, plus minus, for a tune of 15 points. But it's not the 15 points overall. It's not his entire stat line. It's the fact that he did most of that damage in the fourth quarter. And he did most of that damage in the fourth quarter guarding Rudy Gobert. Not only was he guarding Rudy Gobert, he was being guarded by Rudy Gobert. He did a lot of that scoring damage on the reigning Defensive Player of the Year. Reigning Defensive Player of the Year, the Stifle Tower, Dunkzilla, forgot what other nicknames Rudy Gobert has. He could do nothing against Stanley Johnson. Nothing against his effort. Stanley Johnson simply wanted it more. And the other tale of the tape of this game is the Lakers won this game, held the Utah Jazz to 95 points, and it wasn't a particularly great game from LeBron James. It wasn't another 30-point effort. He didn't completely dominate the ball the way he had been the last few weeks. He shot 9 for 20, 3 for 8 from 3, missed half of his free throws, grabbed 7 rebounds, grabbed 7 assists. One steal, one block, was plus 11, plus minus. The only starter who was a positive in the plus minus, by the way. And we'll get to the other plus minus. We'll go through the box score here in a little bit. But 25 points for LeBron James. 15 for Russell Westbrook. Shot 5 for 14. Only two turnovers in 28 minutes. 8 rebounds, 3 assists. So-so game for Russell Westbrook. But the good thing is he didn't do anything disastrous. The effort was there. The leadership was there, obviously, and how he called the team out. And how he had the moment he's been looking for this entire season. He drove down the lane. He went up for a monstrous dunk. He completed the monstrous dunk. He did it on the reigning Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know if it'll be a turning point for the Lakers, that single moment. It might be for Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is somebody who is probably so in his head about how bad he'd been playing. I'm sure it bothered him to some point. To see himself the way he'd been playing just wasn't himself. And I'm sure that's only going to elevate his perception and his mood and, you know, that'll help him. So the Lakers also started Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, and Avery Bradley. Trevor Ariza Didn't do much in this game. And I think this might be the one game that might kind of prove that, in my opinion, because Avery Bradley started also. With this Lakers lineup, I don't think that you could start both Ariza and Bradley. To me, Monk has to start. He has to. He simply has to. Especially with the bad news the Lakers got that Kendrick Nunn is actually, his return is going to be delayed. And so it'll be a while before we see Kendrick Nunn. And the Lakers are going to be at a point where, Anthony Davis is going to come back maybe mid-February, if not a little sooner. But the Lakers will be at a point where they've played with who they've played with so far, and now they're going to have to relearn two whole new teammates. They've been long enough without Anthony Davis, so they're going to have to kind of relearn how to play with him. They're going to have to completely learn how to play with Kendrick Nunn. I don't think Ariza is a fit for as many minutes as he's been playing lately. So to look at who started tonight, you have LeBron James, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, Russell Westbrook, and Avery Bradley. Assuming LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis are going to start when they're healthy, I feel like, I honestly do feel like Austin Reaves has earned a spot in the starting lineup. Simply for the fact that he, much like JaVale McGee, when his purpose was to kind of set the tone defensively, I think Austin Reaves plays hard enough, and he sort of does have that two-man game with LeBron going, because he seems to play really well with LeBron. His effort and everything like that, I feel like Austin Reaves has deserved a start. But the way the Lakers played tonight, he was the closing lineup. And so the closing lineup, up until 3 minutes of the game, and the Lakers did kind of finally have everything in hand, it was LeBron James, it was Malik Monk, it was Austin Reaves, it was Stanley Johnson, and it was Talen Horton-Tucker. That's a great closing lineup because it's LeBron and it's Malik Monk who work well together, and it's simply three guys who care. Three guys who give a shit. Three guys who are going to put forth a great effort. Not that Russell Westbrook isn't going to put forth a great effort, but in closing time, you need some good decisions. And these are guys who make great decisions. Absolutely great decisions, especially Austin Reaves. I think the most celebrated thing about him and his game is that he puts forth a great effort and he makes the hustle plays, but he also plays really smart. He just makes good decisions.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And the really good hustle plays are born out of him putting himself in a position to succeed. And that's not out of luck. And that's not out of hustle. It's out of how smart he is. It's probably why LeBron James likes playing with him. Because Austin Reaves is a smart player. So Stanley Johnson, we talked about his 14 or his 15 points. Malik Monk chipped in 14 points. Austin Reaves, stop me if you've heard this before, about another former Laker who people didn't necessarily expect a lot out of. Austin Reaves, not a very impressive stat line. 4 points, shot 2 for 5, missed both of his 3-point attempts, grabbed 5 rebounds, only had 1 assist, but plus 13 was plus minus. The Lakers just simply play well when Austin Reaves is on the court. I don't know what a season-long plus-minus is. I'm sure it's higher than you think. I'm sure it's higher than I think. Talen Horton Tucker, good game. Shot 1 for 3 from 3. 4 for 7 overall, 11 points. Didn't get a lot of intangibles, no rebounds, no assists, no steals. But he did do a good job of sort of running the offense and sort of being that floor general when, you know, Westbrook and LeBron weren't there. So, yeah, it was a fantastic game for the Lakers tonight in this victory, 101-95 versus the Utah Jazz. Lots to build on still because it was a really bad third quarter. They lost the third quarter 32-20, but then they won the fourth quarter 29-17. But more importantly, what you want to see out of these guys is that the other guys can turn in a great effort. Not just a great game, but a great effort. And this game was all about the effort that we know that these guys can have. And before we get into some of the other Laker news, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Ethos Fantasy BK. Listeners, please take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. That's Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. The single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on Earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides way more analysis too. Again, that is at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Follow now. And before we take a look at the Lakers' upcoming schedule, they do have their Grammy road trip that they take every year, which is usually about 6 games in 2 weeks. This one, I believe, is 6 games in 11 days. The Lakers do, as they have all season, have some injury news. Some of it's encouraging, some of it's discouraging. Carmelo Anthony has been out the last couple of games with lower back tightness. He was close to being ready for tonight's game. Frank Vogel, before the game, said he wasn't quite ready to come back, but that he's close. And I don't think there's anything too much to worry about there. Kendrick Nunn, we thought we would see him late January going into February, and the only word so far that's been put out is setback. Suffered a setback during the ramp-up of a warm-up, I believe, and his return has been delayed from a bone bruise. So we don't know when we're going to see Kendrick Nunn. Anthony Davis, he was due to be reevaluated probably about next week. It seems as though he's going to be reevaluated a little bit early. I don't know about you, but that has me a little bit concerned. As fragile as he's been, if he needs a certain amount of time to be sure he's right and healthy, he should take that time. I don't think he should force himself to come back any sooner because that's only going to set himself up for disaster and failure, and nobody's going to be happy with that. As far as the last episode, I talked about how the Lakers only had 2 games last week and they had a little bit of a break in between that Denver loss and tonight's win. And so whenever there's a week like that in which there's not a ton of games, you can expect for there to be a good amount of rumors and trade rumors and things like that. And you're still not really hearing much of that, especially because, you know, as much as people might want to see Russell Westbrook's moved or traded, he's going to be really hard to move or trade. But you did hear about Cam Reddish from Atlanta was traded to New York, and he was traded for a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and I believe one other player. And the Lakers were almost in the mix to get him, although they only had 2 second-round picks to give, and Atlanta really wanted a first-rounder. And I guess the Lakers couldn't facilitate that with a third team. I suppose it's really hard to facilitate a 3-team trade when you're really only looking for one player to change teams. And so, as it stands, Cam Reddish ended up going to New York, which is a good move for him. He gets to play with his college teammate, R.J. Barrett. But Cam Reddish would have been a good addition. Good 3-point shooter. looking for a change of scenery. I think it would have done him good. And that's really about all the news that the Lakers have going on, which is fortunate, you know. No news or a very little amount of news is good news, in my opinion. Although the Lakers haven't had a lot of good news or anything good to really talk about, tonight's win was a really good one to build off of. And with that, I'm going to tell you about Thrive Fantasy. Hey, guys. We have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get a 100% discount match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on their biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. Check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. All right. Thank you, me. And for the final bit of this podcast, we will do, like I like to do, take a look at the playoff picture. And, you know, it's not looking super great for the Lakers because they are now back to 500. That loss to Denver put them one game below 500, and want to get as far above that line as we possibly can. But as things stand, the Lakers do sit in the 7th seed above the LA Clippers, who may be on a downward trend because Paul George is going to be out for an extended period of time. There's worries that he might be out for the season, and like I said last week, if Paul George is going to be out for the season, I can almost guarantee that that'll mean Kawhi Leonard will sit out the entire season. But aside from that, going from the top, Phoenix sits atop the Western Conference at 34-9. They have a win differential of plus 7.9, which is pretty high point differential. They've gone 8-2 in their last 10 games. Golden State has been without Draymond Green, and they've sort of been sliding a little bit. Not very much, but it's about as slow as a team as great as Golden State Warriors can slide. They're at 31-12 in the 2 spot. Memphis is surging, as Lakers fans are fully aware. Memphis is 31-15. Definitely one of the biggest surprises of this season. 31-15 in the 3 spot. Utah Jazz, who the Lakers defeated tonight, number 4 at 29-15. The Dallas Mavericks playing very well. Finally have Luka Doncic back, are at 25-19. Denver Nuggets, who beat the Lakers on Saturday, are at 22-20 in that 6th seed. Talked about the Lakers being in the 7th seed, Clippers in 8th, Minnesota at 21-22 in that 9th seed, and rounding out the fight for the 10th spot in the play-in at 18-25 is the Portland Trailblazers. Portland Trailblazers just got CJ McCollum back after a collapsed lung, although Damian Lillard is going to have surgery due to an abdominal issue, and it remains to be seen how long that's going to keep him out. And then beyond that, you've got Sacramento at 18-28, San Antonio at 16-28, New Orleans also at 16-28, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Houston Rockets rounding out the bottom of the West. In the East, the Bulls are back atop the Eastern Conference at 27-15. At 28-16, the Miami Heat have surged to the number 2 seed, number 3 for Brooklyn. Brooklyn's going to have an interesting rest of the season. Kevin Durant is going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks due to a sprained MCL. Kyrie Irving has reinforced the fact that he is not going to get vaccinated, so don't look for him to play any home games for the Brooklyn Nets. Cleveland lost 2 point guards this season. Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio have not made any excuses for themselves. They are your number 4 seed at 27-18. Milwaukee Bucks at 27-19 in the 5 seed. Philadelphia at 25-18. There's rumblings that James Harden might not be happy in Brooklyn. and he might be willing to be traded to a place like Philly. We'll see what happens there. Charlotte Hornets in number 7 seed at 24-20. Washington Wizards at 23-21. Rounding at the bottom of the playoff chase, Toronto and Boston in that 9-10 seed. Then you got the Knicks. Knicks have fallen out of the playoff rotation, which I knew they would. I knew they'd be brought back down to earth a little bit. I didn't think they'd be fully out of the playoff rotation because I thought next in line, Atlanta Hawks, I thought they would be back in the playoff rotation. And Atlanta just hasn't made any improvements. As great as Trae Young is, as great as John Collins is, just no upward movement for Atlanta. Indiana looking to rebuild at 15-29. And then you've got Detroit and Orlando being your two worst teams in the league at 10 wins and 8 wins for Orlando. And hey, quickly, before we sign off, I want to also remind you all to use the coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. That's right. Even though we've changed our website name to Sports Ethos, we still have the same promo codes as before. So HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. Also, check out our pals at mybookie.ag. You can use the code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. And with that, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JCDeLeon1. You can follow Ethan, who will be on the next episode, at Ethan_Noroff. You can follow our show on Instagram as well at EthosLakers. You can follow all the other HoopBall accounts. We mentioned EthosFantasyBK, SportsEthos, everything SportsEthos. Give it all a follow. Follow the Wager Pass. Buy into that. Make yourself some money this offseason, especially with the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl coming up. You'll definitely want to be a subscriber and take care of that. And with that, until next time, we're out.